WFVF 1480.
And thank you, Kenny. It is now 8:25, 64 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, as is customary, our second and fourth Tuesday of each month. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Lori.
Just a busy, busy, busy. You were messaging and texting and speaking with a city council just a moment ago. It just never ends, does it?
It doesn't, but I told you, I can multitask.
Yes, you
which
can.
Which is a good thing.
Very well.
It's because I'm a female.
That's right. You know what my Mark says? That means I can mess up more than one thing at a time.
That's exactly right.
Nevertheless, always busy and literally your dream job since you were a teenager.
Yes.
How is it a few months in now? Is it settling down?
Yeah, you know, so April will be 6 months.
Whoa.
I know, so time flies, yes. I wouldn't say that it's settling down. I don't know that it'll ever settle down, but it's going well. I mean, there are challenges every day, but, you know, it gives me great joy and pleasure to be working for the citizens of Fairhope and to be, you know, being able to make a difference. So that's what I'm here for.
Good, very good. Last night, Fairhope City Council met at 6. Work session started at 4:30. And the working waterfront was on the work session as a presentation. Jack and I discussed it a bit yesterday. Let us hear from you on that now.
So the working waterfront, most people know that's a restore project that will kind of renovate that whole the south end and the circle area of the Pier Park. We reopened public engagement on that right after I took office because people had some very strong opinions about what they wanted to see down there.
Right.
So we did talk about it last night. We basically gave a narrative of some of the changes that we're looking at, and we will unveil the graphic of that at the next council meeting and have a resolution for the council to approve. It's basically, you know, it basically stays the same with some improvements. So there's going to be, the Rose Garden will be reconfigured somewhat to make it more pedestrian friendly. There's some brick sidewalks through there so people can actually get around through the Rose Garden, because right now that's just grass.
Mm-hmm.
The fountain, pretty much the size of it stays the same within 10% either way. That's kind of the directive that I gave them. There's more green space along the circle, so there's some pedestrian crossings. There's some different texture of like the concrete. There's not as much asphalt. There's some brick crosswalks and some different textures of the asphalt
to slow down traffic.
Correct.
And make it pedestrian safe.
Correct.
Without removing our beloved circle and fountain.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good.
And we maintain the parking. We actually have gained two parking spaces, because when you go down the hill, that area, when you cut back like you're going to go down to the North Beach, we're able to put some permeable parking on both sides of the road there to increase some parking a little bit.
Good.
So I'm real excited about that. The south end, you'll see a sunset gazebo that people are going to be able to sit on and watch the sunset closer to the water. On that far south end of the south end, there's that little bitty sandy beach. There will be a pavilion there. There will be a restroom facility near the far south set of stairs, but that actually set of stairs will be handicap accessible. It'll be kind of a switchback design. The sidewalks up on the bluff change a little bit. It creates like a circle almost on the top of the bluff, so you can actually walk closer to the bluff on a sidewalk. It'll be also ADA accessible, and there'll be two sets of stairs coming down. Again, we do not cut into the bluff. All those are built up on pilings. So, you know, there's a lot of improvements. There'll be improvements on the pier when it goes to lighting, handrails, the crabbing piers. You know, a lot of that stuff will all be improvements. So we're really excited about it. I think people are going to like it.
And it sounds like a good compromise from the original idea that we all have trouble accepting change. Maybe it was a bit too much severe for most of us, touching the bluff and actually threatening more erosion instead
Correct.
Of preserving it.
Correct.
So this sounds like a good plan.
And I do think, you know, part of it was to make it more ADA accessible, make it more pedestrian friendly. So I think that we're accomplishing those things.
And then not the working waterfront, but the junior city council has got a project to paint some stairs on the other side. Is that coming from Henry George?
Right.
Is that right?
The stairs that come right behind the fire hall,
mm-hmm,
coming
mm-hmm.
off Henry George Park, those stairs need to be redone. So one of the things that I wanted to do with the junior city council is really help them understand the processes of government. So they've taken this project, they made a presentation to the city council with the cost analysis and everything last time. have, you know, had to talk about buying the paint and what that's going to cost and how that process works. So real excited to kind of see that project happen. I think the Junior City Council, I think they're really excited about, you know, being involved and making that presentation to the City Council. I think was really exciting for them, and the council really enjoyed it. So glad that we're able to, you know, continue that program and just have those young folks involved.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anything else at the work session you want to mention?
The only thing I think that, I want to mention is the HMG grant funding, those letter of intents. Those are some projects. So when you have a disaster in your area, there are some FEMA grants that come down that are hazard mitigation grants. So we are applying for two of those. One is for generators and wet wells on some lift stations. We've prioritized those that need generators. So for 10 generators and 2 wet wells. And then also we are applying for a safe room, which would be a facility where we could house our essential employees during a storm, and that would be built on the Pecan Street property. Mm-hmm. Right there by the warehouse. But this is a 75-25 grant, and I'm real excited about the possibility of both those projects.
Okay. And on to the meeting agenda. What did you have to report of the your report of the mayor?
Really, I did not have a ton to report this time. I just was really thanking some staff for the hard work they've been doing. You know, recreation has been really busy with the ballparks and upgrades at the pool. And so really thank Pat White and his staff. Also, we have the mayor's golf tournament this week on Friday. Bobby Hall and the folks there out at Jeff Williams out at Quail Creek have been doing just a great job with that. And so I'm just really thanking them, and also wanted to share with the council that the Baldwin County Child Advocacy Center had sent a thank you note to the council for their contribution and, you know, kind of outlined how many children in Fairhope they had touched and they had helped in the past year. So I shared that as well.
Very good. And on to the agenda, the resolution for the Eagle with the Flag Living Memorial, I'm presuming, was approved. That's going to be the big 6-foot eagle sculpture that'll be in front of the police station to honor those who've served. And a private citizen is actually going to do this themselves.
Yes, they will. Yes.
Okay. Anything else on the agenda that you want to mention?
I don't think there was anything else on the agenda that was really...
I had asked Jack about terminating contracts 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. I always have Fairhope City Council on Monday and then the mayor on after the meeting. He explained that pretty well, but we can add to that if you'd like.
Yeah, I think those are just kind of housekeeping items, okay. Especially the 13. That was just because those contracts were done over a year ago, and then COVID hit and mm-hmm. everything kind of shut down. So we have to rebid that. And the other one was just kind of a duplication of services for another contract we have. So, again, it's just kind of housekeeping to make sure we don't have those expenditures. There was, a lot of John Deere tractors and mowers and all that purchase, but I don't think anything that really stands out that anybody would have questions about. 23 was a resolution that doing some improvements on the crosswalk there at Nichols at Hope Farm and Fairhope Brewing. That area has gotten to be kind of dangerous for people crossing the street, and as those two businesses have gotten really busy and that road's gotten busy because you have all the subdivisions there off Booth Road. So to be able to do that crosswalk is, a pedestrian improvement that I think people are going to really, appreciate.
And is that adding to or a new crosswalk?
It's crosswalk.
Yes, a new one.
So we put a new LED light there, an arm to light that area up, and it'll be a raised kind of brick table that will also serve as a crosswalk, and then some lighting there that people will be able to, bring attention to it.
What I think is very admirable is that the total cost of the project is only $5,214 instead of, I don't want to be rude, but the LED crosswalk in front of the police station that was, $100,000 and didn't really work like we thought it would.
Yes.
So Public Works took a lesson and creating a similar thing themselves a lot cheaper.
They did. And, that was one of the questions that came up last night. This isn't going to be the same as the LED lights on the street like we have in front of PD and in front of City Hall. And they said, no, this is a light that's freestanding light. And hopefully those crosswalks, obviously we're having a manufacturer problem with that, and they're still under warranty, those ones right there by City Hall. So we're still staying on the contractor to make sure those get repaired.
Okay. And work has begun on the utility tray. That's another excellent money-saving example that our stewards of our taxpayers' dollars have done, you and the council, rejecting 200-something thousand-dollar bids and bringing in Public Works to do it for under $50,000.
Right. Public Works and the utilities are going to be putting that tray in. The tray is on order. So as soon as we get it in, we have actually the water department's already been out there doing some upgrades on that lift station. So as soon as that tray gets in, we'll be ready to go.
Okay. I've received quite a few messages on the new City of Fairhope app about water main breaks affecting neighborhoods. Is it because that information used to not be at our fingertips? Is there always a lot of water main breaks, or is this indicative of a pressure problem? What's going on?
I think there's two areas in particular. One, on County Road 32, we had a lightning strike that took out a big block of pipe that we had to replace with the weather last week. So that was one incident where the water was out. And it was out for an extended period of time. The other two areas that we've continued to have problems with is on Greeno. And that area... And Jason Langley could explain this a whole lot better than I could, but basically there's a pressure valve. And when that valve, they're putting the pressure valves on there, so the water doesn't rush in. He calls it a water hammer. So the water rushes in, and it causes that pipe to burst, where this pressure valve releases it slowly, so you don't get that big gush of water that could break the pipe. Mm-hmm. So they are doing that in actually two different places, one on Ferry and Kenny Road, and then here on 98, that they have been putting those pressure valves in. He really thinks that's going to remedy the problem, because he said when that water shuts on, it just rushes so fast, and he said these pressure valves allow it to release more slowly.
And is that because there's more residents being served by the water and more pressure?
Right.
Well, then that goes back to numbers, let's see, 14 and 15 on the agenda. Mm-hmm. About our water wells, doing consulting and some engineering. Tech, can you explain those?
Right, yes. Number 15 was to execute a contract with Thompson Engineering, and that was for wells 2 and 9. That's basically rebuilding those wells, you know, refurbishing those wells.
Give us a visual, can you? Have you seen one of our water wells? What are we talking about?
I have, but it's kind of hard to visualize.
Yeah.
It's basically, that's at the Fairhope Avenue water tower.
Mm-hmm.
So there's wells in there that you have to go in, and you have to refurbish those every so often.
Okay.
The other one has to do with the aquifers. So there is... And that I cannot really explain very, very good, but it has to do with our aquifers and you know, drilling down to make sure we have, you know, good water supply.
Okay. All right. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:37, 65 degrees. Number 21, unbudgeted scanning software to convert paper files to digital, $30,835. Tell us about that.
So that is some of the documents that we've had that we've been scanning to digitize, so we don't have to keep as much paper. This was basically, I hate to say that it was unbudgeted. It was, but it was a carryover from 2020. And the way that bill hit, it hit kind of in between the budget being done and being passed, and we just did not put that $30,000 in the budget. So it's a continuation from a project that started in 2020.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Recently, the city posted a picture of the trees from Hurricane Sally and Zeta being removed from Fly Creek.
Yes.
How was that resolved? Because wasn't there an argument, if it's not my responsibility, it's yours, between the county, the state, and the city, I think?
It was, and actually, it's funny how that worked out, because I ran into Chris Blankenship, who is the director for the Alabama Department of Conservation in Montgomery, at a meeting, and had a lengthy conversation with him. And they are actually, so, you know, he told us, he said, y'all have already bid it out. And I said, yes. So we had bid it out. Tunsmeyer actually got that bid. And so the state is, I'm hoping the state's going to reimburse us. That was his verbal commitment, that they would reimburse us. So they just did not have the manpower to do it. And you think about the waterways across the south part of Alabama that were impacted by Sally and by Zeta. I think, you know, for them to kind of wrap their head around that,
I think
letting the municipality handle that and bid it out locally and get that taken care of was a much easier process for them. So we are working with the state to get that reimbursed. It was a $24,000 expenditure, and that project will be complete as of today, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And what about the removal of the boats at the pier that had sunk? Do we have an update on that?
Well, we will be down there. I'll be down there in about 20 minutes
to
talk about it. We have actually been working with our leaseholder down there. We have hopefully get some information to the city council where we can maybe share in some costs to do that. I heard yesterday that it's a little bit more than we thought it was going to be from a cost perspective and from the number of boats. Apparently, there may be a few more boats than what we can see visually. So, I'm headed down there to kind of check out that situation.
So, even though the restaurant itself is closed, there's still a lease.
There is still a lease.
But this lease doesn't require, it's based on the percentage of their revenue. So, when they're closed, they're not paying any rent.
They are not. They are not.
But they're also responsible for the marina.
They are responsible for the marina. So and the contract, to be honest, is not very clear on who's responsible for that maintenance. And it really doesn't matter because those boats have to be removed. Obviously, we know they're not being harmful to the environment. They're not leaking anything or anything like that. But
How do we know that?
We check them. Yeah, we check them. We have sent our environmental officers down there to check them periodically. Okay. And ADM has been down there also.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. So we, but again, they're an eyesore. And they mm-hmm. need to be cleaned up, and we know that. And I don't want people to think we're just procrastinating and not doing it. There is a process to getting those boats out. I mean, they've been abandoned, and there's some contractual guidelines that we're trying to follow, and we're just as anxious as anybody else to get those boats removed.
What about getting the boat owners to pay for the removal of their boat?
There could be some insurance possibilities mm-hmm. of doing that, so that's one thing I'm going to investigate.
Okay, very good. Let's see. I don't see anything else I wanted to mention. Is there anything that you'd like to mention I haven't thought to ask?
I do want to mention that this weekend we have the Easter Bunny coming to the Welcome Center.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, so be in the Welcome Center area from 10 to 12 on Saturday, so I hope people will come out. Also want to mention there will be a Easter Sunrise service by the Optimist Club down at the Pier Circle at 6:30 on Easter Sunday. So I hope folks will partake in that event as well.
Okay, that's nice.
Yes.
And then the festival is on.
It is on currently. It sure is.
Could possibly still be canceled with the vote, but very unlikely.
Very unlikely, I hope. I mean, I think that we're moving in the right direction as far as COVID goes and, people getting vaccinated and herd immunity. I know that Councilman Martin has been, one who's been very hesitant to say that he would, still be in favor of having the festival. And last night he made a couple comments that were very promising. He mm-hmm. said he feels like, things are getting better. Obviously, we will still encourage people, the festival will still encourage people to wear their mask. There'll be hand sanitizing stations, still only 100 artists. So we are, really making sure people are social distanced and doing the things that they need to do to be safe.
And that is April 30th, May 1st and 2nd.
Right.
And we will be doing our traditional live broadcast. So it's going to be nice to have things feeling kind of sort of back to normal.
Yeah, and I think the merchants are real excited about it. Mm-hmm. I was downtown this weekend, and downtown was packed this weekend. It was busy. But a lot of the merchants have made comments to me how excited they are about the possibility of having the festival, and they're just so thankful that, that the committee is willing to move forward with that and the city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing Jack mentioned I want to ask you, he said y'all are going to bring back the discussion of a warehouse district again,
yes.
which is out there on Nichols.
Right.
In between 98 and, Young, I believe. Area.
Right.
Was any discussion held last night?
Jack mentioned it last night. Councilman Burrell mentioned that, but there's some M1, zoning out there for manufacturing. And I know, we have talked about creating that warehouse district for a while. So I think it's a great fit for that area. I would love to see us, kind of do some street lighting out there. I think a lot of people between warehouse bakery, maybe do a nice crosswalk across 98 with some pedestrian signals so people can get across if they want to go to Hope Farms or to the brewery, in that area. But then back behind Hope Farms, there's some opportunity for some manufacturing that I hope will come to fruition.
In my head, warehouse district was where District Hall and the warehouse bakery
it
there.
It would be all that crossing over.
It would
be all of it.
Well. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All
okay.
of it.
All right.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month following the Fairhope City Council meetings. You can listen to this later or tell a friend. It will be posted by lunchtime at WABF1480.com.